So Matthew chapter 28, first book in the New Testament. This is lesson 16. Wow, this is a long one, I'll tell you. Most Sunday school series are 13 weeks long, usually, one quarter. But this one is a little bit longer. Last week we finished the last prayer in the Bible. The last prayer in the Bible. Does anybody remember what the last prayer is? Starts with the word even. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. That's the last prayer in the Bible, and it's the last verse in your Bible. And we're still praying that prayer right now. And believe me, I'm praying for the Lord to come. And we need to be looking and longing for that. So tonight's theme, though, is the present age. The present age. Now, again, this series was written many, many years ago by Pastor Lee Robertson, and he's been in heaven now for numbers of years, but still, the theme is there. We have two aims, is to know that the Bible has good news for every lost person. Think about this. A minute ago, we sang, "When We All Get to Heaven," and I kind of gave a little commercial before we sang it, and I said, you know what, maybe we want all of us to go to heaven, but maybe everybody doesn't know that. Well, tonight, part of our lesson is God wants you to know that there's good news if you're not sure of that. And praise God for that. And what is the application to that? Here's the application. Hasten to receive Christ as your Savior, that you might be ready for his coming and for the new age which he will begin. So if we don't know we're saved, what we need to do is turn to Christ immediately. And he has never turned anyone away. Never turned anyone away. And so I want you to be thinking about that. Secondly, is to recognize that Christ commands us to go abroad and tell men of the love of God and his willingness to save all who will come to him. So if you're saved, then it is your job, it is my job, might I even say it is our privilege, to take the gospel. We have these gospel tracts. Hope, there is hope. And while we can't carry maybe our Bible with us all the time, we could carry a gospel tract, and we could hand these out to people. Yes, people we don't even know. And we could say, what is it you say, Brother Colton? Here's something to say thank you. Is that about right? He's got a great way of doing it when you're shopping or leaving a store. Here's something to say thank you, and you just leave it with them. We've even got ones, if you know how to read that language. Anybody know how to read that language? Yeah. Farsi, we've got a few hands, all right. And then the Spanish ones I don't have with me. Spanish folks, I forgot to put one in my pocket. But the point is, we have a responsibility. If we know we're going to heaven, we should want to tell people. And we also must hasten to get the good news out. So if you're not saved, don't delay. If you are saved, don't delay in getting the good news out. Let's look at Matthew 28:20, the last verse in Matthew's gospel. 28:20, God's word reads, "Teaching them to observe whatsoever I have commanded you." Notice this great promise. "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the," what? "World." Jesus said, good news, disciples. This is before he's about to go back to heaven. And he says, even though I'm leaving, I'm still going to be with you. I'm with you until the end of the world. We've discovered tonight future things that are coming, or we've discovered over the last many lessons future things that have yet to come. When we say this present age, we are saying that an age is a period of time that has a beginning and it has an ending. We are living in what we call the church age tonight. It has a beginning. The Lord Jesus Christ started his church. And it has an ending. And both of them revolve around Christ. Jesus came, born of the Virgin Mary, lived a sinless life, 30 years. And at the age of 30, he began his ministry. He called those 12 disciples. They ministered for about 3 years. He was crucified. He was buried. He rose again. What we're waiting on is his return. His return is imminent. meaning it could happen any moment. And when he returns, it will end that age. So let's look at several. We're going to have to go through these a little bit quicker than normal. Let's look at several characteristics of the current age that we're in. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. What do we know about this age? Okay, we're going to see what the Bible says. And again, we welcome our visitors, returning visitors, Anchor Baptist Church. We have striven over 25 years to go to the Bible. You know, man has a lot of ideas. Man has a lot of opinions. But God's word should overrule every opinion. God's word should overrule every tradition. Right? We have traditions. And they're not all bad necessarily, but we don't believe a tradition over truth. What you have in your hand tonight, if you have a Bible, is truth. Now, there's some traditions that have been passed on that don't line up with the truth. So we need to set those aside, and we need to say, we're going to believe in the truth. So here's some things about this present age. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse number 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Notice the first part of the verse says, the God of this world. Notice it is a small g, God of this world. Who is this talking about? This is talking about none other than the devil. And the world that we live in today, one of the characteristics of this age is that it is dominated by the prince and power of the air. It's dominated by the devil. What is his main objective? It says it right there that his main objective is to be blinding people. Now, this isn't talking about physical eyesight. This is talking about spiritual eyesight. His objective is to keep people like me or to keep people like you from knowing who Jesus Christ is. Notice how the Bible says, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. He doesn't want people to know the gospel. He doesn't want these missionaries to go to these foreign lands that they've gone to. He doesn't want us to hand out Farsi tracts, Spanish tracts, English tracts. He doesn't want us to invite our friends to hear the gospel. He doesn't want us to speak to them about the truth. He doesn't want that. He is dominating. He's seeking to dominate this evil world in which we live in. Excuse me, this evil age in which we live in. So that's number one. Let's go to John 14. Now, that's not something to crawl under the seat and cry. That's not what we're supposed to do, because we have good news in John 14. This is also, number two, the age of the Holy Spirit. I heard a pastor say this morning, and I agree with him, we should not shy away from talking about the Holy Spirit of God. We should talk about the third person in the Godhead. The Godhead is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. When you go and you read about Jesus' baptism, you will find all three are there. Jesus is obviously there, God the Son. Then there's a dove there in the form of the Spirit. Then there's this voice from heaven that says, this is my beloved Son. God, that's God the Father. And so all three are there. In 1 John, it says there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. I don't understand everything about the Trinity, but I know that it is true. And I know that we need to also, we're not talking about a Trinity, I guess, but the Holy Spirit, the third member of the Godhead. Look what Jesus said in verse 16. 14:16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Notice that word is capitalized. Maybe you want to underline it and write beside it in your Bible if you don't mind doing that. Holy Spirit. Because that's who that's talking about. One of his titles is comforter. Notice what it says, that he may abide with you how long? Forever. In this age, the Holy Spirit is abiding with Christians forever. We know the Holy Spirit has had no beginning, by the way. Just like Jesus Christ did not have a beginning. Okay? He had a beginning of his physical life in the form of a baby, but that's not when Jesus Christ arrived. He's God. He's eternal. The Father is eternal. The Son is eternal. The Spirit is eternal. But until Jesus Christ left, the Spirit did not indwell believers like he does today. Notice what he says. You won't be alone. I'm going to leave, and he's going to give you a comforter. Let's look at verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, notice, whom the world cannot receive. So an unsaved person does not have the Holy Spirit of God inside of them. This is the words of Christ, not the words of the pastor. This is the word of Christ, the word of God. Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. Notice, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you. And notice this, and shall be where? In you. He's coming. At this point, Jesus is saying to his disciples, early on in the verse, chapter 14, you see verse 1. It's a very familiar text. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. That's what we're waiting on tonight. And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And then later on, this is the same chapter, he says, I'm not leaving you without the Comforter. He's going to come and he's going to be in you forever. When this age ends and we go up to be with the Savior, we don't need the Holy Spirit anymore. Because we're going to be with Christ for all eternity. It doesn't mean the Holy Spirit doesn't exist anymore. It just means he doesn't indwell us anymore because we're going to be with Christ. So this is the age. Here's the good news. The age of the devil, but it's also the age of the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit's number one objective? The Holy Spirit's number one objective is to show us truth. He is the truth deliverer, revealer. I like that word better, revealer. We deliver it. He's got to reveal it, right? We've got to hand out the truth, but we can't save anybody. Only the Holy Spirit. So the number one objective of the Holy Spirit is to convict you and convict me that we need Jesus. This is the number one goal first. And so the devil is, it's a battle. Praise God, the Holy Spirit is stronger than the enemy. And the word of God always overcomes the enemy. I'm so thankful for that. This is his number one. Now, he's also part of what he does is he helps us as believers know the truth. He also gives us power to live the Christian life. There's so much more there, but that is the number one objective of the Holy Spirit. So this is the age of the evil, of the Satan, but it's also the age of the Holy Spirit. Number three, this is an age of separation. Let's go to Galatians 1. Galatians 1. And let's look at verse 4. Galatians 1. 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians. And then Ephesians. All right, keep turning the pages. That's good. Praise God for his word. How many of you have it? Anybody have it? All right, good. Here we go. Follow along. Notice what it says. Who gave himself, talking about Jesus, for our sins, notice, that he might deliver us from this, what's the next word? Present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. So it's not the will of God that you and I get saved, and then continue to live as part of the system of the world. Now, we don't immediately go to heaven. You notice that, right? There's a lot of saved people here tonight. You know, when you got saved, God, obviously, because you're here, God didn't just take you to heaven. Why? Because there's work to be done. The angels of heaven, they're not down here preaching. They're not down here sharing the gospel. God has given us that responsibility to do. But to do that more effectively, we've got to separate from the world. We've got to separate from the world. We are in it, but not of it. Look at James 4:4, please. We read this a couple weeks ago on Sunday morning. James is toward the end of your Bible. James 4:4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Wow. I think I'm going to go to the next verse. I think that speaks for itself. But again, I will encourage you to go on our YouTube page, preached a whole message really on that verse of scripture, I think 2 or 3 weeks ago. And it's very important that we examine our salvation. All right, one more, 1 John 2. We're heading toward the back, if you noticed. 1 John 2, not John, but 1 John. Look at chapter 2. Verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We are in this world, but we are not to be of this world. You and I, if we are saved, we are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. We have been chosen out of the world. We have a new master. Who is our master when we're saved? Our master is the Lord Jesus Christ. Before we're saved, we also have a master, Satan. And I'd rather have Jesus Christ. I'd rather have God as my master any day. Because the Bible says, for God so loved the world, John 3:16. God is a God of love. Satan is anything but love. So thank God that we have been saved, but it's an age of separation. And then, number four, it is an age of grace. Grace, the unmerited favor of God. Grace through faith is how we are saved. This age, remember, has a definite beginning and it has a definite ending. It is important that we get the message of God's grace and we get it out quickly. This is kind of the introduction. It's a little bit longer introduction. And then there's two main points within the outline. Let's talk about these. Let's go to Acts 15. Number one is the purpose of the age. The purpose of the age. Good to see you, Nathaniel. Glad you're here. Acts chapter 15, the purpose of the age. Look at verse 13, please. And after they had held their peace, meaning they were quiet, James, interestingly enough, this is the same James that wrote the book James. Okay, which we believe was the first book really written in the New Testament, time-wise, chronologically, was James. James answered, saying, "Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written," verse 16, "After this, I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up," verse 17, "that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things." And I just read, did I read? Yeah, okay, good. 15, 13, 17, yeah, okay. "Calling out a people for his name." 4 points in James' message. Let me give you these to you. If you have a pen, I'd encourage you to write these down. First, God is visiting the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Thank God that the gospel is for all people. It's for the Jew, but it's also for the Greek. I'm thankful for that. Secondly, we see The theme was the return of the Lord. Notice that in our statement. After this, I will return. Verse 16. I will return. After he visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name, he says, we agree, this agrees with the words of the prophets, speaking of the Old Testament. And then he says, I will return. This is part of the theme. This is part of the purpose of the age that we're in tonight, the church age. Then we see is the restoration of Israel. He says, I will build again the tabernacle of David. Also verse 16. And then fourth is what we've already covered, the millennium. Notice, he says that the residue, verse 17, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord. God is taking out a people for his name. Tonight, if you're saved, you have been given a new name. The songwriter, I love what the songwriter said. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. And you can say that too if you've been saved. Your name has been written down in glory, and you have a new name. A name, you have taken on the name of Christian. We take on that name. We take it on humbly. What is a Christian? It is a Christ follower. It's not someone who has been only just baptized. That doesn't make me a Christian. I was born to a Christian home, but that doesn't make me a Christian. What is God? What is the objective? Why did Jesus come? Why did he die? Why was he buried? Why did he rise? Why did God send Jesus? Because God loves people. God loves you. God loves me. God wants us to be part of his name, if you will. God wants us to be part of his family. That is a choice, though, that is up to you. It is not a mistake that you are sitting in this room tonight. I don't really understand fully, but God, in his sovereignty, knew you would be here. And he knew I would be here because we believe that God is omniscient. What does this mean? He's all-knowing. He's way above me. He's way above you. But God sees us here tonight. It isn't that you are just this one little speck in a world of 8 billion people, and who knows how many billion have been born since the beginning of time. But God loves you personally. God loves me personally. God wants us to go into this next age, if you will, with him, not against him, but with him. God is he. In his son, he humbled himself that we might be able to come to God, not in our merit. No one here has enough merit. You can't show me in the Bible where it says how many good things you have to do to be saved. It's not in there. My merit does not save me. I'm a pastor. That doesn't save me. Caleb was telling me, our son, his name is Caleb, and he's a missionary in the country of Uganda. And he had the privilege of going to this scripture union on Saturday. And he goes on Mondays, every Monday, to the one school where they meet at. We've talked about that at church. And he gets to preach the Bible to the kids from the school, public school, every Monday. But then once every quarter, I think it is, they have a gathering of many schools. I think there were like 20 schools represented on Saturday. And they invited him to come and speak at this meeting. He had no idea what he was getting into. He had no idea what was going to happen. He didn't know how many people. He was a little bit apprehensive. And God has been helping him to really start to learn a little bit of the Rutshuro language. He's definitely not fluent in any way, but he's able to read it a lot better when it's written out. He can read it pretty good. And so he's got a Rutshuro Bible. That's the local language in Fort Portal. He got there and he was absolutely stunned by what he saw. He estimates there were 300 to 350 people at this meeting between the ages of 12 and 22. He was the last preacher. The first guy preached 1 hour. Well, if you want to call it preaching, you have to, I'll preface this in a minute. The next guy spoke 45 minutes, and they all just sat there like it was normal. I wouldn't even have sat there like it's normal after an hour and 45 minutes. I mean, you know. When can we go home? You know? But then he gets the dubious job of being third up after all of that. Can you believe it? But he said, Dad, he said, I was so heartbroken by what these men, these religious men, were saying to 300 plus young people. One of them basically said this, you are all saved. You're all saved. How does he know that? I'll tell you what that statement is, folks. That's a lie. He stood up there as a representative of God to those kids, and he told them, you're all saved. Wow. Basically telling them, you're all going to heaven someday. What a sad state of affairs. Caleb got up there, and he had a message that God had already given him, and praise the Lord, he was able to speak the truth. I don't know what will come out of that, but let's continue to pray. All of our missionaries, but continue to pray for that. As we said earlier, Satan is the master blinder, and he takes people that appear to be from God, but they're not. They're from the small g God. Honestly, I would doubt that very seriously that that man, and I'm not going to say this for sure because I've never met him, but I would doubt very seriously if that man is even saved. Can you imagine? And this is why now Caleb is starting to learn why he meets so many people in Uganda that say, oh yeah, I'm saved. But then you begin to ask them, what does that mean? And they have no idea if they're saved. They have no idea what that term means. You see, God wants those people in that one area, just one little area, Fort Portal, Uganda, population about 1 million. This is just one little area in our gigantic world. Think about it. Praise God, though, that we have a part by sending a young couple there and family there to take the truth of the gospel and say, no, this is the truth. This is how we find our way to Christ. This is how we find our way to heaven. And we have 42 other missionaries that are doing the same thing. Praise God for that. The purpose of this age is not for us just to sit in a chair. The purpose of this age is to go out into this world in which we live and show them the love of Jesus Christ. That is the purpose. That is the objective. God saved us to go out and preach Christ crucified, buried, risen, and coming again. That is the purpose. But then secondly, we see the end of this age. The end of this age. The word tells us that certain things will happen in the last days. We've already really talked about that early in the series. Let's go to Matthew 24. This is one of the discourses that we see in the Word of God regarding the coming age, the end of this age, and the coming of Christ. Matthew 24. Verse 1, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily, verily, I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, I think that probably was a little bit confusing maybe to them. But Jesus was the master teacher, was he not? Verse 3. He's not done yet. As he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately and said, tell us, when shall these things be? In other words, when is this, verse 2, when is this going to happen? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Verse 6. Actually, let's keep reading. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And notice what they're doing. And shall what? Deceive many. Who is the master deceiver? We know Satan is the master deceiver. So all throughout time, from this time that Jesus is talking until July 26, 2026, there have been so many people over the years. It was maybe in the newspaper at one time, and now it's all over the internet, and it's a false gospel. It's a gospel that does not line up with the gospel of the Word of God. Jesus predicted it. He said, guys, here, listen up. There's going to be many, many messengers that are going to come and say, listen to me, listen to me. But they're false. They don't have the truth. By the way, it's not about the messenger other than Jesus. It's never about the messenger. It's about the message. God will take anybody. God will let a donkey speak, won't he? In the Bible, God let a donkey talk. So believe me, God will get his message delivered. One verse of scripture, it said, if you don't give the message, the rocks are going to start speaking. Wow, okay. I mean, obviously, there's an analogy there. Let's keep reading, though. I'm getting on a rabbit trail there. You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Verse 6, see that you be not troubled. Just like John 14, don't be troubled. For all these things must come to pass. Notice, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Wars would characterize this age in which we live, and it obviously does today. And we continue to the end of the age. What do we know as well about the end of the age? Go to 1 Timothy 4. I'm sorry to have to go so quickly tonight, but I'm asking that God would help us to apply all of this, if possible. The main objective tonight is to lift up Christ and make sure that tonight we are all ready to go to heaven. What's another indication of the end of the age? 1 Timothy 4, 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. It's really another way of saying deceiving, just like what we just read in Matthew. This false Christ will deceive them. It's the same thing that Paul is saying to his protege, his disciple, Timothy. And doctrines of devils. Paul is saying, in the latter part of this age, people will leave the faith. They will fall prey to these deceiving voices, if you will. And I'm not saying just in our head, I'm talking about literal ones too. And we've seen much of that. It doesn't just start in 2026, it's been an ongoing thing. It's part of the age. Turn over a couple pages to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 1, I'm going to go ahead and start reading. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Here's one that we kind of skip over, but wow, unthankful. Do we not live in an age of unthankfulness? I'm telling you, don't let that creep into our lives as Christians. Every morning that you get up, be thankful. Tonight I walked out to the car. That's something to be thankful for, right? Walking out to the car. But the air was so clean after the rain. Be thankful that you can breathe. Be thankful God has something for you in your life. Again, it's like I said this morning, we're not just a blob. God has something for us. But unthankful, unholy. Verse 3, without natural affection, truce breakers, again, we could talk about all these for minutes and maybe longer minutes, but we just got to keep going. False accusers, incontinent, fierce. Wow, fierce. We got a lot of mad people in this world today, don't we? I mean, they're like a loose cannon. They're just ready to explode. It's growing, really. Think about it. It's growing. It's right here. It's been prophesied. Despisers of those that are good. Isn't that the case? Right? You know, the people that are evil are saying that the good people are evil. I mean, there's none good but one, but you know what it's saying here, right? Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Wow. Having a form of godliness. See, this is what I think. I mean, there's probably more, but this is what I think is a problem we got to really guard against in the church. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. We're not going to have God's power if we're not separated from the world. That's what we talked about earlier, right? We cannot live a worldly life and then expect God's power. The two don't go hand in hand. God is going to give his power to those that are seeking to live separate. We're not perfect. Living separate from the world, consecrated for Christ. We need a revival of consecrated Christians. We need a revival of serious-minded Christians. Hey, we can laugh and have fun. I'm the first guy that wants to do it. Don't get me wrong. But we've got to have some serious-mindedness about us. Because we're talking about life and death, aren't we? We're talking about life or death. It's serious. Look at chapter 4. Same book, verse 3. Notice this, mark this. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. There will come a time where the people in the church will say, I've heard all that. I don't need to hear any more about separation. Don't need to hear any more about holiness. I don't need to hear any more about all of these things. I want something that feels good. I want a feels-good message. Now, there are things that do feel good, but there's a lot of things in here that don't feel good. And by the way, that's good. They don't feel good, that's good. Because God didn't save me and save you just to feel good. God saved us to live, to bring honor and glory to him. But after their own lusts, their own desires... Sadly, here's what happens. They heap to themselves, meaning they have all kinds of them. Now it's very easy to heap to themselves. You know, YouTube.com. You got this guy over here, boy, he itches my right ear. I got this guy over here, he itches my left ear. I got this person over there, they tickle me, they tickle my right ear. This person over here tickles my left ear. Notice what it says. They want teachers having itching ears. No, we need stepping on toes. We don't need just itching ears. We need, oh, man, I don't like that. I'm talking about me. I'm not saying you. I'm saying I need to hear that where I'm convicted and challenged. Yes, I'm also comforted. Praise God for the comforting of the Holy Spirit of God. Notice verse 4, so sad here. They shall turn away their ears from the truth. They take their ear and they say, no more. They turn away their ear and instead, they're going to hear something, right? So instead of hearing the truth, do you see what Paul said? They listen to fables. Isn't it, I've got to wrap this thing up, but it's amazing what, even in our churches, if we're not careful, what people believe, and it's a fable. I mean, it's clearly not something that is Bible. Come on in, kids. Come on in. Find a seat as quietly as you can. You're fine. It's clearly not in the Bible. But because, listen. Because they have turned their ears away. Perfect time for all of our teenagers to be here. They've turned their ears away. They are going to listen to something. Right? They are going to listen to someone. Let's emphasize the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. Emphasize this. Why? This is truth. This will help you know if it is a fable or not. So if you don't know much of the Bible, and I'm not saying I know much, I don't, I need to learn more. But if we know little of the Bible, it might be very hard to distinguish between a fable. The more we soak up this book right here, we're going to be able to distinguish by the discernment of the Holy Spirit, that's a fable. In other words, that's not in the Bible. That's not true. I don't want to live for that. That's what's here now, and the devil is not done. He's wanting to distract. He's wanting to detour. He's wanting to take away people that are hearing the truth, turn their ear away, and listen to fables. Scoffers will be the sign of the end of the age. I don't have time. 2 Peter 3, 3 to 4. Scoffers making fun of the truth, making fun of Christians. By the way, don't think if you're made fun of, don't think you're facing a whole lot of persecution because you're made fun of. I mean, I know it might be challenging, but in the last week, I know of one very personal friend and one kind of a little bit of an extended friend, both serving God in a communist country, and both of them had to close their churches. Well, not close. One had to leave. One had to close his church. He's kind of in hiding and not sure what they're going to do next. So I'm not saying that your persecution isn't real. It is, but let's remember the stuff that we're facing. I'm not, give it to God. Give it to God. Let God fight your battles. God is always on the winning side. But what I should say, conflict is going to continue, though. It's not going to get better. But God is not getting weaker. Amen? God is almighty. God is good. If you're on God's side, you're on the winning side. By the way, God wants anyone and everyone on his side, but you've got to follow God's direction. It's not the direction of a church. It's not the direction of a this or that. It's the direction of this book that'll help you get on God's side. If you're not on God's side, I encourage you tonight, talk to someone. I'll be available after the service. It's not my word, it's God's word. In closing, the Bible has good news for every lost person. We started the message off with this statement: hasten to receive Christ as your Savior, that you might be ready for his coming and for the new age, which he will begin when Jesus comes. I'll read Luke 8:40. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. That is not a verse that refers to the second coming, but is a great verse for us to use in comparison, that there is a day when the Savior is going to come, and may you and I be just like that group in Luke chapter 8, that we were thankful and grateful because we were waiting for him to come. Let's pray.